folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how you doing?
Doing all right, Ken. How about yourself?
No complaints, obviously. A great win over the Bengals on Thursday night. Now, obviously, the frustrating thing is the Ravens' pass defense seems to be just circling the drain right now. A couple of long passes to Chase in this last game. You think they're down to only one receiver, pretty much. T. Higgins wasn't there. That they'd have more success stopping Chase under those circumstances.
Yeah, it's very disturbing to see a team being either unwilling or unable to key in to eliminate a single player from the equation. That's been a hallmark, I think, of Ravens defenses for a long time. Particularly in certain games when they were like motivated to stop your Antonio Brown in Steelers games, they were able to do so. Like you said, with a team that doesn't have T. Higgins, you would think Chase would be the number one priority, and they were not able to execute.
Yeah, a number of changes are potentially on the table. We're at a mini bye at a 10-day hiatus between games, and maybe more importantly, in 3 weeks there's a full bye coming up. So the Ravens will have some chances to make changes on either of those times, probably be their best chances all the way until playoff time to make changes that can help propel them into a reasonable spot in the tournament. But let's talk about some of those, and why don't you start us off with a change that you think is relatively low probability.
So one of the changes that's been most discussed, but I think is probably the least likely change, would be a coaching change at defensive coordinator. The Ravens have in the past changed offensive coordinators midseason. They've never changed a defensive coordinator midseason. The players are pretty vocal. Marlon Humphrey in particular has been pretty vocal that Zach Orr is not the problem. I'm sure he's to an extent looking out for his guy. But also, you know, as you've documented through, a number of weeks, there's just a lot of problems, in terms of execution and players seem to be pressing. I think much more likely than a coaching change, would be whether this comes from Harbaugh or, I mean, I think it would only come from Harbaugh, really, is sort of an adjustment of, how much players are going to be doing in within the confines of the scheme over the next couple games. Maybe an adjustment of philosophy rather than coaching staff.
Okay, so a philosophical change on defense would be something if they decide, hey, we're not getting it done in zone, or I got to go to more man. One of the interesting things is that, if you have safeties, if you have any kind of safety coverage over the top, you automatically have a zone component in what you do. Okay, you can't get rid of it entirely unless you're going to play cover zero every snap and basically have man coverage across on four or five receivers, whatever it might be. But I think the change of a coach is unlikely. I would agree. I think it was a very interesting visage of Dean Pease we saw in this game because it was just a weird time for it. But the Bengals are on the key final drive where they drove down, scored the touchdown that brought them within one, and then they had the choice, of course, and went for two. Near the beginning of that drive, you saw a very animated Dean Pease. In fact, more animated than I can ever remember seeing him. The announcers even talked about it and said, hey, he seems to be asking for them to get after Burrow here. I don't doubt that that's what he was saying, but obviously for him to be that animated at that point in the game, he's not necessarily in agreement with what Orr's philosophy is.
Yeah. And the addition of Pease is really the only thing that even makes this feel like it could be a possibility, right? Because no matter what, no matter how this was presented to Zach or the media, there's a guy now on staff as an advisor who has previously been a defensive coordinator for this team. You know, that fact cannot be lost on Zach Orr, that, if things were to become, somehow even worse than they are right now. And I shudder to think, there is a possible replacement waiting. I'm hoping that the addition of Pease with the time over the next, over this, like, as you said, the 10-day hiatus plus a bye week coming in a few weeks, that they'll be able to sort of make some slight adjustments, because they just really aren't getting it done right now. But it, just based on Harbaugh's track record, it feels pretty unlikely that they're going to fire midseason.
I would agree. A defensive coordinator is a decapitation effort. There are other positions that could be changed. They could have a, perhaps a safety coach added, who, that's where a lot of the problem is. Some of the problem is Brandon Stevens still. We'll talk about him a little later. But in terms of what's happening on the back end, maybe they need to bring in a recently retired safety. One name I think that's on everybody's mind is probably bringing in Ed Reed to do something. I'm not sure he's the perfect guy. I'm not sure he's the perfect teacher for this kind of stuff. But if you want somebody who, knows how to play coverages, knows how to look at film, I mean, he'd be a guy for that. Their biggest problems are in the defensive backfield. That is a place where they have a new coach this year. It's a possibility they would make a move there, I suppose, right, even if they were not replacing Orr. And then the third thing is you could have a soft change where Harbaugh takes a more direct oversight role of the defensive backs for a period of time, trying to fix this personally. And that has its own level of discomfort, to have your boss, sitting basically in a chair right behind you, looking over your shoulder at the screen, trying to direct traffic. We do a lot of over the shoulder work, by the way, in actuarial work, and it's never comfortable for the person at the keyboard.
No, absolutely. I hadn't really considered a positional coach change when we discussed this, but I don't think that would be particularly unlikely, honestly. I think the lower down on the totem pole you go, the more likely it is that they would make a change. But that's such a hard thing to gauge, given that, we really don't know what's going on during those meetings and things like that. But that would still be an indictment of how Orr is sort of running the staff underneath him. But at the end of the day, I think I'm ready to indict.
Means a lot coming from a lawyer.
That's right. I guess we'll see.
All right, let me go to a second one, and that is the possibility of a change at either guard spot. Now, most of that would be driven, I think, right now by the weakness at right guard with Fa'alele. He's had some good things. I think the probability of a change actually is fairly low right now, given there have been some highlight moments for Fa'alele, certainly. Also, I'm not sure where Cleveland sits in the kennel, whether he's, his time is coming up towards a release date or anything like that, or that release date comes with free agency. And also, they've had good play out of McCary that I don't think is going to make it easy for Andrew Voorhees to crack back into the lineup. But where are you on the possibility of a change at guard?
I think there's almost no change, no possibility of a change at left guard. McCary has played well. And even if you want to talk about insurance at the tackle position, I think you got to put your best five out there, right? And the most important thing is, to win games and to protect Lamar Jackson, right? So that seems extremely unlikely, and it gives Voorhees more time to, recover from his injury last season and have just another year of, being in the weight room and being in meetings and things like that. And hopefully he's a guy that could look ready coming into next year. Hopefully will be, if he's called upon, be a capable backup this year.
He'll still be a second year player next year. So a reasonable thing, a little bit of pro experience, obviously hasn't really played that well at left guard so far this year, but I anticipate he'll be back. McCary won't be back next year unless the Ravens, spend some money to re-sign him.
Right. And hopefully they'll have a better idea of what Voorhees is looking like as a player and be able to project a little bit better with another just year under his belt. And then as far as right guard goes, I mean, so I would preface this by saying I'm about 80% of the Harbaugh guy that you are, and which is still, I would say, pretty positive on Harbaugh, generally speaking. But I think this is just a prime example of Harbaugh's stubbornness and arrogance. You know, and this isn't like we don't have information going back. I don't think it's very hard to project that that Ben Cleveland is a superior player to Daniel Faalele. We've seen Ben Cleveland take a not insignificant number of snaps, and we've seen Harbaugh do this time and again, whether it is taking way too long to play rookies who are clearly better than, the players ahead of them on the depth chart, whether it's, you know, the whole Bryant McKinney thing, you know, waiting until literally the playoffs to install a combination on the offensive line that would end up being good enough to take us to and win a Super Bowl, without which we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do it with the combination as we had it at the time. And it was literally Harbaugh didn't like McKinney. McKinney doesn't really seem like a likable dude, but I'm not here to like people and make friends. I'm here to win. So you and I think that this is the second least likely change out of the changes that we've sort of, you know, looked at, I think is, says a lot about Harbaugh, and none of it very good.
I would agree. It's one of the worst things in terms of the Harbaugh look this year. I just have to console myself that there's something under the hood that we can't really see from here, and that Cleveland is doing something that is just, it's so reprehensible, it's unacceptable. And I think the best example the Ravens have of a Harbaugh doghouse player, you know, well, there's multiple guys. Tim Williams never amounted to anything anywhere, so the doghousing by Harbaugh was perfectly justified. The other guy is Jared Gaither, and that's a more nuanced situation because he went out to the Chargers after he'd been basically told he's moving to right tackle and then coming up with an injury, I use air quotes, in the 2010 season after really playing very well in 08 and 09. I mean, he would have been – there's no way I would have moved Orr to left tackle after seeing the two of them play left tackle. Let's just put it that way. Harbaugh decided to do it, and I think a lot of it was related to what a lousy teammate Gaither was and you know, really lousy work ethic, which extended and was very well documented back to Maryland. And then he went to the Chargers, played four really good games. I think it was in 2011, earned, again, air quotes, a big contract for 4 years, and the Chargers got the old maid then. Because immediately he was a nobody and really played very poorly. Clearly a sine curve kind of effort. The Orioles player some people may think of when they hear that is Earl Williams, who would try in the mid-70s to try hard for a couple of days to try and convince Earl Weaver he was back on track. And Weaver just – he absolutely could not deal with a guy who had such a low work ethic. And I really don't know. But, you know, my first suspicion when I – hear that a player is in the doghouse, or when it's obvious that a player is in the doghouse, is that there's a work ethic issue. I mean, it maybe it's something else. Maybe he doesn't pick up on things. He doesn't learn. There's got to be some reason for it.
Yeah, I think in that scenario, if you're so pissed off with a player, you cut him or you trade him, or you do something, right? I don't think the lesson in the Jared Gaither story is all pop, or the Jared Gaither example is all positive on Harbaugh's part. I think it begins with a poor talent evaluation on his part as far as who should be the left tackle for those teams. And, you know, Jared Gaither being a player who would be, unmotivated to play, you know, the right tackle. You know, I think at that point you either say, I'm going to get what I can out of this guy and then not re-sign him because I think once we give him money, he's not going to be the guy that we need him to be, which turned out to be the case. I think we've got the guy on our team in Ben Cleveland. I think by all accounts is a better player. We're here to win. If you don't want to re-sign him, don't re-sign him. But, you know, I don't think you're doing anybody any favors by going the course that you're going, but I think it's unlikely that we'll see a change barring injury. Okay. So I would say the next sort of a little bit more likely of a change would be at the free safety position. That's what I ranked as you know, third most likely or third least likely, depending on what direction you're going into. I think the thing that makes this, obviously what makes this likely is that the safety play has just been pretty awful. But you know, the problem, aside from the fact that Marcus Williams really is your only true free safety type player, you know, with Hamilton being injured, I think that just makes it very difficult to make any major wholesale changes at this role. I think, you know, all options ought to be on the table, whether it's, you know, whether it's trying trying Ardarius Washington at the free safety position, you know, during some snaps, or trying to, you know, simplify their roles, I think is the more likely thing. Something needs to change in that defensive backfield.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
So you're right on the money when you say there's nobody other than Williams. I mean, that's really he's the only natural choice to play free safety. He's just playing really poorly. And it's such a sharp contrast to how he's played in the past that it just does not make any sense at all. Eddie Jackson is not an option. He is still on the team, but they've tried that, and that game against the Browns was an unmitigated disaster. I don't think Ardarius Washington is a good chance to work out there. He's played reasonably well at the strong safety position. I would, as much as I think his tackling is still potentially a problem at strong safety, range instincts are things that I just don't know that he has what's needed out of a free safety, the real ball hawking, you know, stay in a loose bracket, those sorts of things. You know, I think he's already challenged kind of at strong safety. And honestly, they don't have another option other than him at strong safety right now that makes any sense. You know, going back to Jackson isn't really the call. But that brings us to Brandon Stevens, who I think, if you wanted to pick somebody else on the team who might be an option as opposed to Williams, I think it could be Stevens. And he's got experience at free safety. He's got experience at, I believe, both safety spots at SMU, where they really moved him around on a down-to-down basis. Just really a weird defense, the way they ran that there. They have played him some at free safety with the Ravens, so it's not like he has zero there. They've tried to have him at free safety to start camp 2 years ago, I think it was, 22, I believe. No, it might have been 23. Might have been the start of 23.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So a bunch of things have been tried, but Harbaugh has made comments this week that would indicate that Stevens is not on the move right now. But I think I am reading into what he said and saying there's kind of a right now at the end of the sentence that's kind of being unspoken.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And I'm actually really starting to subscribe to the idea, you know, assuming Kyle Hamilton comes back, you know, fairly soon, that they may try to move Hamilton further back in sort of a, we're going to sort of raise the floor, you know, of this defense, right? And give, you know, they're going to be giving away more ceiling than they're going to be raising the floor, given how good Kyle Hamilton is closer to the line of scrimmage. But when, you know, if you can't stop the deep pass, and players can just, you know, and quarterbacks can just go bombs away every week, you know, it's just not it's not going to be a formula for success, particularly in the playoffs. So the Ravens do need to figure out all the combinations that, you know, that are available to them. They need to give them a shot because, Kyle Hamilton in this role near the line of scrimmage, you know, we tend to think of that as sort of like sacrosanct, but maybe not so, given how poorly, we've been defending the deep ball.
You know, great players sometimes have to play out of position, and this could even be a year. And I haven't really brought this up, but that Marlon Humphrey could be moved to safety. I mean, he's Ravens. If with a current deficit of corners, it seems very unlikely. And yet they did acquire Tre'Davious White. And were he to show that he actually had a little bit left in the tank, and Wiggins, I think, deserves more playing time. I think he should be in there every down anyway. I think that that's a possible change. I think Humphrey moving to the back end for some snaps, maybe becoming a floating piece that he and Hamilton can switch places, kind of thing. Where if you have Hamilton in the if you have Humphrey in the slot for most of your snaps, then you can move Hamilton and Humphrey back and forth, and that could actually be a very dynamic pairing. And Humphrey's definitely become a look at the quarterback, read the quarterback, find the football in the air guy, to an extreme degree this year. So I think, you know, he's ripe to make that move at some point, but he's just not, his physical gifts haven't forced that move, by any stretch either. And so it'd be a shame to lose that. Both cases, you probably want that player exactly where he is, both with Hamilton and Humphrey. It gives you a little bit of we don't know exactly what we're getting between the two, if you might move either back and forth between those two positions.
That's right. Yeah. So is next one me or?
I'll do it. I mean, one thing we haven't talked about so far is moving Arthur Maulet out of the slot. Now he's just back. I think it's a low probability of a change right now. But I remember these changes, they have an opportunity to change right now in a 10-day window. They also 3 weeks from now, you have another opportunity to make a change during a full bye week. And so there will be another opportunity for that. But Maulet, I think, is actually a low probability of a change right now. He hasn't played terribly so far. But they don't really have the depth to move Ardarius back there. So it now becomes a move of either you're really committing to a lot more Hamilton in the slot, which is a reasonable way to get Maulet out of there, or you're moving Humphrey back to slot corner. And for that, you need another outside guy. So that means either Tre'Davious White or Stevens staying there for sure. But it's probably a commitment to Wiggins playing time to get Maulet out of there.
Yeah, I think that there are just so many good options at slot corner. I mean, I think I've said this season that our slot cornerback room is probably the deepest in the NFL, and so just the movability and the variability. I mean, I don't even really view it as replacing Maulet, just maybe, you know, the chance that his playing time gets reduced and he's still going to have definitely a role in particular in certain packages. And particularly just knowing how much they're moving around Hamilton and Ardarius Washington, you know, throughout the course of the game and given the Hamilton injury, you know, Maulet's still going to have a role, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they decided to cut his snaps down a little bit. And then finally, I think the most likely change, would be at the cornerback, position, just because, I don't think cornerback is the biggest issue in this secondary. I think we've established that it's safety, but the Ravens have a really good answer to Brandon Stevens' struggles, and that is to increase Nate Wiggins' snaps. Mm-hmm. I think that this serves a lot of purpose. Number one, I think Wiggins has outplayed Stevens so far. I mean, just given what Wiggins has had on his plate, that doesn't, you know, Stevens has had to go up against some pretty tough assignments. I think we should wait to crown Wiggins, but Wiggins played pretty well, and I think he's earned sort of an every down role, and you know, it ought to be his to lose, or Stevens to win back. I don't really see much downside in that, given the struggles that Stevens has had, even though Stevens really did make sort of his best play of the season with that near interception in the end zone mm-hmm. against Cincinnati, you know, where he just unfortunately could not get both feet down. I mean, that was literally the type of play we've been begging him to make all right. season. And it's encouraging, but he really might do better with just a little bit of a reduced role. And might help earn him some money for his next contract.
Yeah, but that is one of the real obstacles to this is that moving Stevens is might cost him money, or it might even have the perception that it'll cost him money from his position. But right now the Ravens have a problem. Stevens given up 9.3 yards per target, which is bad. The word is out on him in terms of the back shoulder throw that he's very beatable in terms of that. It is a lot better to get beat on back shoulder throws than over the top for 70-yard bombs. Okay, but so I'm not trying to pretend like it's the most important problem from that perspective. But there's also a matchup issue, is that the Ravens play fixed sides for their corners, the opponent always knows where Stevens is going to be if they want to target him. Same thing goes for Wiggins, by the way, but I don't think it's been nearly as big a problem. So, when already Stevens is out at right cornerback opposite what is typically the X receiver on that side of the field, who's got a big space budget, it's just not a good spot for Wiggins. It's a big risk. For Stevens, it's a big risk for him to give up big plays. I think a system where the Ravens traveled to cover the number one receiver otherwise. And I'm okay with, I think, either option of having Wiggins follow the number one receiver or Humphrey follow the number one receiver is viable. Wiggins has much more raw talent and speed, makeup speed, all the things you want in a corner who has to cover on an island. Humphrey, a more physical corner. I want him near the line of scrimmage. I want him pressing. After that, he's susceptible to getting beat like a lot of older, not quite as quick as when they came out, corners are, even though he's our best guy. I think Wiggins is probably the guy you chase the number one with, but then you also make sure your number one is over the top. And then whoever the other team's second receiver is, that's the guy Humphrey can play on an island with and probably be pretty effective. I mean, that is, by the way, one of the really typical ways that they handle man coverage assignments. When you have a need to play one corner on an island, is it'll often be that your best corner goes on the number two guy, and that could well work here. But then the problem then becomes, where do you put Stevens in this whole arrangement? I guess you could put him on an island versus number two would be a possibility, and Humphrey in the slot.
Sure.
So they've got choices, and they've the one thing Harbaugh did mention is that Tre'Davious White is going to get some snaps, which means somebody else is losing some snaps.
What do you ascribe the, you know, because I it does drive me nuts when they do the fixed corner positions. Mm-hmm. Do you ascribe that to how the Ravens view Brandon Stevens' limitations? Because I feel that Humphrey, for instance, could go anywhere on the field. His inside-outside versatility, I mean, he is, you know, remarkable in that aspect. So it sort of seems they think that's a Brandon Stevens problem.
If I had to guess, I would agree that you're probably right. And it could be a favorite shoulder thing. So it may be that Stevens is better playing the ball off one shoulder. That's typically, it's a guy who looks back for the ball that you really care about which shoulder he wants to go out over. I mean, it's Deion Sanders or Chris McAllister or somebody like that you want to make sure he's going back over the right shoulder to find the football. It's not Brandon Stevens with his limited ability to find it. But there still may be other things. There may be ways that he, you know, presses a wide receiver to the sideline better on that side. So there can be reasons. I'm not sure exactly why they've decided on this.
and decided on the fixed nature of it. It can also be that they know how and when to release their responsibilities, and they're more playing like Williams is typically playing relative to Stevens on that side half of the field, and he may be in a better position to understand exactly what Williams is going to do behind him.
Yeah, it really, in my opinion, just feels like it really hamstrings the defense. And if you're going to do it that way, you're going to need to know, you know, what kind of help you're going to need to give that corner over top. And we just haven't figured out a way to do it. But hopefully Nate Wiggins will be cures what ails us.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting because this next week is going to be a big change in a very big game. The Ravens are unlikely to win the division without outrighting the Steelers if they lose this game. And if they lose this game, that's going to be difficult to outright the Steelers because they're going to need to be three games better than them down the stretch. It can happen. The Ravens are certainly the better football team. There are three and a half point favorite on the road, which is telling you right there they're the better football team. And you look at any other metrics, DeVoe or whatever, they're in good shape. But in a way, they have to deal with this test tube situation right now. They've got a threat over there in George Pickens if he's the completely the wrong kind of player to be up against Brandon Stevens, a big physical receiver, can go up higher and get the football, and can also be a back shoulder guy for Wilson. And I think, unfortunately, it's not a good matchup for him. It would be a much better matchup for Humphrey. I think it would also be a good matchup for Stevens. For Wiggins, but I don't like it for Stevens at all.
I'd love it if Humphrey followed him, just because, you know, Pickens' fuse is so short, and Humphrey, as described by many receivers in the league, is so annoying.
Yeah,
that you know, could see Pickens being ejected by the second drive of the game. So one can hope.
All right. Always a pleasure talking football with you, Slava. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaKuperstein.
All right. Other folks out there, if you have a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Otherwise, if you'd like to do something nice for the show, 50-word review. Is always nice. 5-star, of course, if you're going to do that. Or if you'd like to just contribute to hashtag film study mailbag. We always are looking for good questions from good fans, and that helps drive some of the content on our show in a way that's very positive. Slava, for Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.